Hello and welcome to the Stuff I Heard podcast. This is your host, Joshua Peak. Hey everybody, how you doing? This is the Stuff I Heard podcast and I'm your host, Josh Peak. How's everybody on Saturday? I got up a little early this morning, about 5:30, and you know, it's dark outside and you're getting some coffee and thinking, all right, so I've slept 6 hours. That should be enough, right? Part of your brain thinks, I have a lot to do, even though it's Saturday. And what regulates that? What gives us that thing? When you're younger, you're told, you brush your teeth, go to bed, do your homework, do your chores. When was the last time you took out the trash? When was the last time you did this? Da-da-da-da-da. And your whole life prepares you for all of the things that you're going to have to do when you become an adult. So, along the way, your parents sort of nag you, or you think that's nagging as a kid. You're like, geez, you know, why don't you guys leave me alone? I just want to do my thing. When the reality is they're preparing you for later in life, when you don't really have a choice, and you don't have somebody staying over you, but you sort of need to give yourself drive. You need to give yourself goals. You need to give yourself direction. And that's difficult to do, especially in the beginning when no one's standing over you saying, when was the last time you brushed your teeth? When was the last time you took the trash out? When was the last time you painted this whatever? Have you paid attention to the flowers lately? Have you paid attention to your yard? When was the last time you cut the grass? When was the last time you thought about calling the exterminator? Have him spray. And as you become adult, you sort of make plans and you sort of get on board with things. You learn to find an exterminator and have a regular appointment where they come out and spray. And you start talking about things like 401k and you start putting a plan in place for your future. For a long time, you think, oh, this is just fine. I'm just going to get every dollar I can keep in my hand and I'm going to blow it as soon as I can because life's all about experiencing things and I'm going to experience everything. But you subdue yourself with BS. If you're a guy, you may be into video games and you're going to be like, oh, I can't wait till the new video game comes out so that I can, let's be honest, waste time. It may be enjoyable and it may be a good thing to have an escape from your regular life where you get to go online and, I don't know, kill zombies or trolls or race other people in other places or play football against them because you don't play football. And it's fun to escape into that fantasy. It's fun to detach yourself from what your real life is, which, when you're younger, is not that glamorous. And even if it is that glamorous, you don't deserve it. If you've been given things, there is a sense of fraud that you feel, I'm imagining. I didn't get to feel that, but hey, I watch TV, I watch movies, I hear people talk. Everything in life needs to be achieved in order to be appreciated. No matter who it is, no matter what your circumstances. Even if you give yourself goals, like let's just say that you were born affluent and you were given goals like, I'm going to run a charity. Okay. A lot of people who aren't in that world are going to look at that and say, a charity? Really? That's going to be your thing? That's the thing you hang your hat on? That's going to be the thing that is your day-to-day? Well, sure, why not? What if your thing is to be in top physical condition? Let's say you're a model or some type of athlete. Your body is your work. You put in a lot of work. You go to the gym a lot. You look at your nutrition. You constantly have to take photos of yourself if you're into modeling or whatever. You have to constantly be critiqued and hear people talk about how fat you are. When in reality, you're in the best shape of most of the people in the world. But just like anything else, there are things that separate us. If I decided today I wanted to be a model, they'd say, wow, you're really overweight and old to be a model. True. Yeah. How about that? Or do I look like most Americans? Do I look like the average American guy? Probably. I mean, genetically, I'm white. I have gray hair, graying hair, but I have hair when a lot of my friends are losing their hair. And I hear from guys who are losing their hair go, oh man, you're so lucky you got hair. I had no choice in that. It's genetics. Just like my kids genetically got their mom's gene for being skinny. Their metabolism's faster. They're never going to struggle with their weight. I do. I can eat some nachos, and I get on the scale the next day, and I've gained 3 pounds. I know nachos aren't 3 pounds, but you know what I mean. I got to work harder for everything, which is like most Americans. But, you know, I have an optimistic look at things. I like to believe, and I've said this before, I think it's from being in the Marine Corps, that part of the leadership traits of being in the Marine Corps is you're supposed to know yourself and seek self-improvement. And I sort of believe that everybody has that innate quality about them, that they sit back sometimes and they go, you know, I'm tired of my stupid hair. I'm going to get a different haircut. Or I'm tired of being overweight. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to work out. I'm saying this because October's coming up. And if you know anything about Joe Rogan, Tom Segura, Ari Shaffir, Bert Kreischer, they have a challenge every October, Sober October. And it all started off with Joe and Tom and Ari talking about how they felt like Bert drank too much. And they wanted to give him an incentive to taper off the drinking for the month. And in their discussion about it, it wasn't quite an intervention, but it was similar to an intervention. They had to do a podcast with Joe, the Joe Rogan Experience. You can go back and look it up on the internet. I'm sure it's on YouTube. You could probably just punch it into YouTube, and all of Joe's stuff is on video form also. And you could see them having a discussion about what's it going to take. We'll all do it with you. That's basically their thing. Listen, we care about you. We'll all do it with you. Let's embrace this Sober October thing, and let's make it about you or about us. And they sort of tagged it as Sober October, B-E-R-T, Bert. And it became fun for the listeners because in there, they had a physical challenge. They were going to do like so many sessions of hot yoga during the month. And it was like, I think 15 sessions of hot yoga, which is like 90 minutes doing yoga in a studio that's like 100 degrees, which is brutal. I've never done it, but I've worked in 100 degree weather and it's terrible. And I've also heard that yoga is extremely exhausting. But they did it together. Even when they were apart, they did it. And they documented it on the internet. And it made it fun for viewers who were watching the stuff of going, wow, I want to be part of that. I think I'll do something like that with my friends. And that was sort of the thing that they realized as people reaching out to them and saying, hey, me and my friends are doing this too. Which is pretty cool. Of course, I didn't really participate. I'm not part of that group. My friends are scattered. They don't listen to this stuff. If anything, I'm dragging them into listening to it. I'm dragging them into the world of comedy and podcasts. Kicking and screaming, but they're doing it a little bit at a time. So here we are. This is the 28th of September, 2019. October's just around the corner. There's going to be a podcast coming up very soon where the topic is going to be Sober October. And listen, if you haven't listened to these guys before, this is the one you want to listen to. These are the podcasts you want to listen to because it is a lot of fun. I don't know that they have a challenge for this year. Last year, it was this thing where they wore these heart rate monitors on their chest. And so for the month, it tracked their heartbeats and how much they worked out, and There was a competition to see who would win. Well, Joe's, you know, somewhat of an athlete himself and, you know, beat everybody, which was expected. I mean, the race really was for who was going to come into second. And Ari Shaffir surprised everybody and came in second, which if you'd asked everybody before this began, Ari was probably the most out of shape of the four of them. But you know, he lives in New York, he walked a lot, he worked out a lot, and he wasn't going to be beat. He's got a determination that other people can't see. And he held his ground. I don't know what they're going to do for this month, but it's going to be interesting. So, they're all really good friends with another comedian named Joey Diaz. Now, Joey, if you don't know, is a comedian and an actor. He's been in lots of stuff you've seen before. If you Google him, Joey Diaz, D-I-A-Z, you'll see he's been in stuff like Sopranos or The Longest Yard. You've seen The Longest Yard, the big fat guy that gets out of breath and he almost passes out, and the guy comes by and puts a cheeseburger on his belly. That's the guy. That's Joey. Now, Joey has done a lot, and Joey is a hilarious comedian, and he has his own podcast called The Church of What's Happening Now. I've seen Joey Diaz in concert do a show in Charlotte at the Comedy Zone. Now, if you know anything about the Comedy Zone, or you don't, let me just tell you, it is underneath a restaurant. Like, when you go to find the place, you're in a Mexican restaurant. You're like, where is the Comedy Zone? There's like a little arrow and a hallway and stairs that go underneath the place. And that's where the Comedy Zone is. It's a pretty cool little venue. It's sort of difficult to find. And you're going to have to get a hotel away from the place because there's nothing nearby. And probably Uber there. Or if you want to drive, just don't drink. I mean, that's why I Uber. I got to get a hotel. I know I'm going to go there, have a few drinks. I got a nice safe ride home with Uber, and then I'm good to go. But, you know, whatever's in your area, whatever you can do, do that. Okay. All that being said, I've got my friends into listening to these comedians a little at a time, just a little bit. You know, I took Greg to see Bert Kreischer earlier this year. We went to Charlotte and saw him at the Knight Auditorium in February. And it was fun. And now Joey Diaz is coming through. Here's the thing. All these guys have specials coming out on Netflix later this year. They're all recording their big special for Netflix later this year. Joe, Bert, Tom Segura, and Joey Diaz all are recording specials later this year. And if you go online and look at their tour, they're going to be finishing up in December. I mean, this is sort of rounding out their year of touring. And I have tickets to go see Bert in 2 weeks. 2 weeks from right now would be a Saturday. I'm going to see him that Friday night. Okay? Down in Charleston. I'm really looking forward to that. There's going to be some stuff coming from that. I'm taking somebody that you guys know or you've heard of before, so it's going to be interesting. And I'm looking forward to that trip. That's going to be a lot of fun. I really wanted to go with somebody who was a Bert fan. And, you know, it's going to happen. So we're going to have a good time. But a buddy of mine reached out to me and he said, hey, I'd really like for us to take a trip somewhere and see a comedian for like a live event and get to hang out and you know, do that. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'm down. So while I was at work, he was looking on the internet and he called me and he's like, hey, Joey Diaz is going to be in Atlanta in January. And I was like, really? Atlanta's not that far away. I mean, for me, it's about a 4.5 hour drive. I went there to see Joe Rogan a few years ago at the Tabernacle, which is a beautiful venue, by the way. If you've never seen it, it is gorgeous. It's like an old church that they've converted into a venue for live events. They have concerts there. They have comedians there. It's beautiful. They got like their regular floor, and then they got two levels of mezzanine. What's it called? Mezzanine seating, where you're like elevated, and it's just gorgeous. So anyway, apparently Joey had a concert scheduled for June something. I forget the date, but they had to reschedule. I don't know what happened. I don't know if there was a conflict of issues or whatever. But online, it shows, like, if you look up joeydiaz.com and click on tour, it shows dates through December, and then that's it. But if you go on Google and you Google comedy in Atlanta 2020, one of the first things that comes up is Joey on the 25th of January doing comedy at the Tabernacle. And I'm like, cool. So I click on the link. And sure enough, there's tickets there. They're done through, I think StubHub has all of the tickets. I don't know why they're the only ones, but they do. They're the only ones that have them. Now, I know Joey releases tickets at a decent price, and then these companies buy all the tickets and they jack up the price ridiculously. And this is no exception. Listen, if you want decent seats there, you're going to pay for it. But I've seen Joey, and I know that no matter where you sit, you're going to have a good time. So, and I've been to the Tabernacle, and I know that I've sat in the mezzanine, on the front of the mezzanine on level 2, and it was fantastic. So I know that no matter where we sit, it's going to be fine. We haven't bought tickets yet, but if you go on to that StubHub link where it's all connected, it has a choice of 1, 2, or 4 tickets. And that's it. Just 1, 2, or 4. So I know that there's 2 of my friends that are down. They want to go. They've already committed. They said yes. So with me, that's 3. I thought, all right, I need a 4th. Who's going to be the 4th? So I reached out. I was like, yeah, let me give a shot. I'd gone to see Bert with my brother a while back, and so I reached out to my brother. I said, hey, are you available on this date? Now, my brother is a coach and a teacher, and he is a basketball and a volleyball coach. And during January, a lot of times they have tournaments or, you know, something coming up with basketball. So I know that scheduling is very difficult for him around that time of year. But I thought, hey, I'll throw this out there and see if you want to go. You know, he is 12 years younger than me and my friends. But it's okay. We'll forgive him. We're, you know, he's an adult now. He's fully evolved. He's got kids. He's, you know, he's a man now. He's a full adult, paying bills and all that crap, buying and selling houses, all of the fun demands that it takes to be a man. You know, sacrifice and sleepless nights with kids and, you know, everything that goes with it. And he's hung out with us before. He's a lot of fun. He's one of my favorite people. And I have an opportunity now for us all to go. He's like, I'm in. He texted me and said, I'm in. I was like, cool. I sent a message to the guys. Hey, Alex is going to be our 4th. Cool. Awesome. So we're going to have that coming up in January. Now, that's not saying that we just need 4 people. If other people want to go, and you're listening to this, and you want to go, talk to me. Let me know. Maybe we could buy more tickets. I don't know if there's an option to buy more tickets, but maybe we can buy more tickets. Maybe if we go as a group, it'd be a lot of fun. I don't know. We'll see. But think about the fact that it's on a Saturday night. So if you work during the week, it's a pretty easy trip. From where I live, like I said, it's about 4 to 4.5 hours, depending on traffic. And go down, get a hotel on Saturday. Have plenty of time to go out and eat with your friends. Have a few drinks. Go to the show. I think the show is at like 7 p.m. or starts at 7 p.m. And these don't start right at 7. It'll say 7, but like, you know, everyone's kind of meandering in around 7, and once everybody gets inside, they go, all right, here's your opener. And they usually have an opening act come out and do the thing. And then your headliner comes out. Or if you have, you know, if you're a big venue, sometimes you'll have 2 comedians. You'll have an opener, a middle, and then your headliner. And I don't know what Joey's going to do on this one. This is a much bigger venue than seeing him at the Comedy Zone. The Comedy Zone, I don't know the exact numbers, but it looks like they hold about 300 people. Maybe close to that, somewhere around that range. Whereas the Tabernacle, I've heard people talk about on podcasts, holds about 1,800. So it's a much bigger venue. When you have a bigger venue, there is a little bit of pressure of, hey, you gotta bring it. Now, Joey's going to bring it. I've seen Joey before. Even when Joey didn't have a special on TV, Joey is funny from the get-go. If you don't know who Joey is, just do yourself a favor. Go online. Look up Joey Diaz comedy. He has a Netflix special that he was a part of called The Degenerates. That's hard to say. The Degenerates. It's a collection of comedians. I think they all do like half an hour. Brad Williams is on there. He's hilarious. There's a bunch of funny comedians. Christina Pajinski does a small set, which is funny because she then turned around not long after that and put out an hour on Netflix. But people, I guess Netflix was kind of testing the water of seeing what they could create with comedians because, let's face it, making a comedy show for television is way cheaper than making a show. If you make a show, you gotta have sets, you gotta have actors, you gotta have writers, you gotta have all of the stuff that goes into that. If you have a comedy show, you film it. You just film a few sessions. You have an editor break it down. You have continuity where the guys wear the same shirts, or girls, guys or gals, whatever, wear the same shirts so they look similar. But you record a couple of them, and then you splice together the best of it. You edit it down, and you go, okay, this is good. I like this. So money-wise, it's easy to make. I don't know why other people haven't thought of this. I mean, if everything's about X's and O's and dollar signs and all that other stuff, you would think somebody would do the math on this and go, yeah, we should really promote comedy more. I mean, people definitely love it. If it's all about clicks and you have a streaming service, wouldn't you want to make that as accessible as possible so that you have the most clicks? That's one thing that Amazon is really failing on. Amazon did a special with Jim Gaffigan, which is great, but I had to find it. Like, I had to search. I had to go into their search function and type in Jim Gaffigan and just see if it was there. I was like, why isn't there a navigatable, is that the right word? That's not the right word. Why isn't there an ability to find it? What's the word? Interface. Why isn't there an interface that I can scroll and find it? And see, that's one of the things that Fire Stick has done well with Netflix. Their interface is really good. It's very immersive. Now, Fire Stick hasn't done a great job of that with HBO. Their interface is terrible. The complete opposite is true with Apple TV. In this little office thing, I have a television up on the wall, and I have an Apple TV in here. It's one of their third generation, I think. It's really crappy in the fact that it has an optical sensor, so you have to point it directly at the thing in order for it to work, whereas the Fire Stick thing now is Wi-Fi. You can hit it anywhere in the house, and it knows what's going on. It doesn't have to be pointed directly at it. See, this thing, if the sun is in it, if this is an Apple TV remote, if something's blocking it or the sun is shining in the wrong direction, they can't see it. That's dumb. That's a dumb technology, especially when you have this other stuff available now. But, you know, the Apple TV works great for HBO, but really sucks for Netflix. I don't know why. I don't know why they decided to make it suck so bad. I did buy an updated Fire Stick recently. I got one of those 4K ones. And I'm really liking the functions of the power button on it and the volume up and down. It just limits the amount of remotes I have to have in my hand whenever I use something. And we're going to use it today. We have some friends coming over later. We're going to set up a TV on the back porch. I'm going to take some photos of my table that I made. You guys, if you follow me on Instagram, you've probably already seen it. But I'm going to set it up so that we can watch some football out there. And of course, part of that is I got to go out there and spray for mosquitoes because I don't want mosquitoes to snag on us. So I'm going to do that today. But I woke up today, like I said, at 5:30, thinking, here's some things I need to do. And you list off the chores in your brain. I didn't have anybody standing by me. Back to the thing about talking about being an adult. Here's some things I have to do. Here's some things I want to do. Here's how I have to make it all fit. In order to make it all fit, when I wake up at 5:30 and look at the clock, my brain goes, all right, get out of bed, lazy. Here we go. Now, I know I'm not lazy. But you kind of have to have that push in order to make things happen. In order to achieve the things I want to do, I got to get out of bed and I got to go make it happen. So, let's talk about some stuff I heard real quick. I listened to a few things. I listened to Dr. Drew After Dark podcast. Talked to Nikki Glaser. If you don't know who Nikki Glaser is, she's blowing up right now with her Alec Baldwin roast. It's really good. You find out a lot about Nikki in the podcast. She really shares a lot. She is on episode 33, came out Thursday. I also listened to him interview Jen Kirkman. Jen Kirkman is hilarious. She actually worked on The Marvelous Miss Maisel on Amazon, which won like 15 Emmys this year. She's a funny comedian, again. I'm listening to right now a stand-up comedian named Justin Martindale on the podcast. Don't know who Justin Martindale is, I'll be honest. But so far, the interview is pretty interesting. He's an interesting guy. Okay. Let's switch speeds here. I listened to Wife of the Party, Leanne Kreischer. You can find her online at wifeotp.com. And the episode I listened to was this past Thursday, Sober Momtober. Because she's Bert's wife. She's going to do something during October when the guys are doing the Sober October. And this is her thing on it. And it's an interesting podcast. It's all about regulating your calendar and scheduling things to do to get more organized. It's interesting. I find it interesting. I know not everybody's into that kind of stuff, but listen, that's just what I'm into. Okay. I also listened to the Bertcast. Episode 362 came out Tuesday with Andrew Schultz. Andrew Schultz is hilarious. I forgot to mention I listened to the one before that. 361, Taylor Tomlinson. Listen, she is hilarious. She apparently went on the road with Bert for a while and opened for him. Funny comedian, funny lady. You got to check out that episode. It was really good. Really, really good. She's going to be blowing up everywhere. She's got a Netflix special coming too. And it's fantastic. What else? What else? What else? What else? That's about it. I've been watching on Netflix The Walking Dead finale of season 9. Very good show. They've rebooted it in a fun way. I dig it. I dig the direction. I dig the characters. Whoever has taken up the mantle of writing has done a great job. So kudos to you guys. My camera's about to go off. Hang on, let me hit the button so that it keeps going. I swear I am going to get another camera at some point here. That doesn't shut off after 30 minutes. I just got to get to that point. But anywho, I am going to try something this evening that I haven't done before. If you guys are interested, I know right now you're probably like, okay, what's he going to talk about? This evening, we're having some friends over, and it's like a dinner party thing. Somehow the discussion has come up of doing a podcast with my wife's friends. She has a couple of really close friends that they go to the gym together. And you're going to meet them on the next episode. I'm not going to give anything away here. But my wife has become a podcast fan. And I don't think that her friends really listen to podcasts or know a podcast. And I don't know that that's safe to say. We're going to find out. We're going to find out a lot of information today. And we're going to have fun. This is not about a deep dive question and answer kind of thing. This is going to be a fun hang, okay? So if you guys want to listen to a fun hang, I know that you're normally listening to me rant or BS around for a good 30 minutes. I don't know what's going to happen this evening. I don't necessarily have a plan. I don't know how I'm going to get everybody in here because my table is built for two. So, yeah. I've talked about doing this in the kitchen. That way I have more space, but the sound is different, and I'm not sure about using the microphones because I've only got two, and if you use two, you got to share two, because if you have two people sitting next to each other, they have to lean in, otherwise it sounds like this, and they're over here, and they're sounding like this, you know what I'm saying? So I got to figure that part out. I'll be honest, I have really thought about upgrading my soundboard to a bigger soundboard with more microphones, because I do see the future of this, and the more I do it, the more I realize that more people want to be on it together. I've talked to Champ Lambert about getting together and doing a drunk cast where we drink and we all have fun, you know, podcasting together. But part of that is if I do that, I got to have microphones for everybody and also want to make people comfortable. The way this room is set up, I could put a couch over in the side and put two microphones over here. And then I got to figure out how to film it. It's a whole thing. My brain is in either in creation mode or editor mode or engineering mode. Listen, I don't have to do any of this. Nobody does. Nobody has to do anything. But when I was a kid, it was instilled in me that you have a choice in life to do or to not do. My Nana was probably one of the first big influences of my life. And she told me, she said, listen, I have a lot of respect for your mom. She didn't call her daughter. She said, I have a lot of respect for your mom because she goes after it. I will never have to worry about her. And this is a woman who went through the Depression, who raised three kids in a rough situation, and her husband had to fight and claw to make a life, to give their kids hopefully better than they got. And for her to look at her own daughter through my eyes and realize, hey, I need to point out to this kid how big of a deal it is that his mom is a go-getter and what a big deal that matters to people. To me, to her. And it definitely influenced me. Her dad was a guy that got up way before the sun rose every day just to make sure he was on the job site as the sun came up. As soon as he could see, he started working construction. You got no control of the sun. But when it's out and you got a job to do, that's when it's time to do it. You can't waste any time. So in a way, she got it from him. In a way, I got it from him. So this is me passing it on to you. Whatever you want to do, whatever you need to do, create the own voice in your head that says, get up and do it. Quit wasting time. Listen, this is from the perspective of somebody now who's 45 and realizing that, you know, in all reality, I'm at a midway point in my life. If life expectancy for men is about 70, what, 76? What am I going to do with the time left? What are you going to do with your time left? Are you going to do something that matters? Will this podcast matter? Will any of this matter? I don't know. But I want to do it. So I am. So I get up at 5:30 on my day off on a Saturday. And the voice in my head says, go, 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 go get it. Go do it. So here we are. So listen, I want to tell you that I appreciate every one of you sticking around and listening to my BS on a regular basis. I appreciate every one of you, and I want you to know that I care. It matters. I mean, without you listening, I wouldn't have a reason to do this. So thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm going to try and create content that you guys enjoy. I'm going to try and create content that I'm proud of. And more than anything, I'm just going to try to be consistent. And I hope that you guys have learned that by now. I've been doing two a week. This is episode 144. I've been doing two a week since this thing started. I'll need like a reminder. You know, I need to do something out here where I can remember when I started. Because I don't even remember when I started now. It was easy to do with the 1 year anniversary. Because 52 months out of a year. I mean, 52 weeks out of a year. 110, what was it? 104 episodes? Yeah, 104 episodes. So I got to like figure something out. I'm going to put something on the wall to remind me. I need to put things on the wall that remind me of like bullet point topics and things like that. But definitely like when I started. Because I'm not going to stop. So anyway, stick around. There's going to be a bonus episode. There may be a podcast by my wife. Who knows? We'll see. I may get her to create a Leanne Kreischer type podcast where she gets to hang out with her friends and talk. I think there's a reason she's interested, and I think she's onto something. I think there's a need for women of a certain age to have a voice, certain perspective. And I definitely think theirs is a perspective that needs to be shared. That's one of the things she gets from listening to Leanne. And you're going to find out more about that later. So, thank you to everybody. Y'all have a good one. And please remember to rate, review, subscribe, and share with your friends. As usual. Cue the cow.